Bible study tonight into prophecies. We're at the very end portion of this book of Revelation. I think we've been there most of this year. It's very difficult to teach this and get along with it fast. All you could cover would be like the tip of an iceberg. But to go into the depths of the meaning of this, it's so full of revelations that God does want us to see and to understand that helps us not only with our walk down here in this life, it gives us the ability to look up when things are growing a little bit difficult, when we can't see what is really happening. It always gives us this hope to know that God, that cared so much for His creation and for His people, went to such great lengths and such tiny, tiny details in everything concerning the redemption plan for His people. The beauties that we can see that He has for us, that gives us a faith and a belief and a strength that we wouldn't have if we didn't understand this. It is a good thing, and it's wonderful to be able to know that we have the truth and that we're walking in this truth according to the Bible. That alone would be all God had to have given us. But He gave us so much more in this word when we have that spirit to understand it, to look forward to not just the abundant life He does supply here once we have taken that step and made that total commitment to Him in our life. Seeking you first the kingdom of God, all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, takes everything, all that you are, for God to be able to give you that abundant life right here. To look ahead and to be able to see that He cared enough to show these prophets in the Old Testament, to show them to John here on this Isle of Patmos, of what He wanted our eyes to really see too. We see them through these prophecies and through the eyes of these prophets. That in itself is enough to take us through anything. If we just wouldn't let Satan blind our eyes, I suppose that is his greatest weapon. Just pull a curtain over your eyes for a little while and don't let you see what God really has for you. We're turning now to the 21st chapter of Revelation and continuing this Bible study. We studied, I think, for a couple of weeks, the very first verse of chapter 21, because there's so much in this first verse for us to see and to understand. You take just a few words and you combine them with all of the prophecies that it's built upon. You begin to get a clear picture of what God is really doing in His redemption plan. This 21st chapter is the time that is coming. It's in the future yet. It's after the next prophecy that is to be the rapture of the bride. It's after the 3.5 years of tribulation time. It is after the 7 years of judgment time that we find in the book of Daniel. And it's after the 1,000 years reign. It's after the battle of Armageddon and then the 1,000 years reign. Then when Satan's loosed this short while and then cast into that lake of fire for eternity, then we see John's eyes are turned to the time that we're really waiting for. I'm going to certainly enjoy all of the time that God has ahead. I enjoy life right now for what God has. He's everything. He's a total absolute in this life for anyone that really cares enough to look for Him. It's going to be even greater when we have these glorified bodies. We keep wondering if we're going to make it with the things that's happening to the natural body in our world today with the pestilences, the sicknesses and the illnesses that are happening in this worldwide. When we are caught up in the rapture, we immediately are translated and have that new glorified body. Not just a glorified spirit, but a glorified body. We'll be going into that a little bit tonight. I'm going to enjoy that. I'm going to enjoy helping cleanse this old earth. Whatever my job is going to be, I desire that as much as I want it right now. And that 1,000 years of reign to come back with Him and reign that 1,000 years with the other saints that have made it also. The time that I am more anxious for than any other time is this time right here. This is the time that we actually will have that wedding supper. We actually will enter into that heavenly Jerusalem. the city that is described in such great details in this 21st chapter. This is going to be the beginning of the greatest thing that God could have ever considered or thought of for His redeemed people. This is a time I like to teach about. We're going into the second verse, Revelation, the 21st chapter. We're in the period of time after the 1,000 years reign or the millennium, and after Satan has been cast into that lake of fire forever. And we're after this time, and now it's from end of the 1,000 years into eternity. There is no end. This is the period of time this chapter 21 is dealing with. It is in two parts. We have one, the information on the new heaven, the new Jerusalem. We have two, information on the new earth. We really went into detail on verse 1 about what this means, new heaven and new earth, so I'm not going to deal with that tonight. To go on reading from verse 2 through verse 6 tonight, in chapter 21 of the book of Revelation, John said, "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Can you imagine this time in your mind, what this is going to be like? All of the worries, all of the heartaches, all things are past and all things become as new. Now, as we go into this, we find that the only feature of the new heaven that is in view here is one portion. Can you tell me from what we've just read, what portion of this new heaven that we see in view here in these verses of Scripture? There's just one part of it that we see here. Anyone study this? Not from what we've read at this time. I'm talking about from verse 2 through verse 6. What part do we see in view here? Where is this throne that we're seeing? What does verse 2 say? The New Jerusalem. "And I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven." As we're reading this and we go on, and we see the only portion that's really being shown. Now we hear the voice of God from the throne, but the portion that is described and that we actually can see through John's eyes that he saw is this new Jerusalem, the holy city. We see that this feature, this holy city, dominates the scene in this 21st chapter. We also find that there are a few verses given on the new earth. Let's go into this portion. Here again, we do not see the whole picture of the new earth, but it's just a portion of it being described. Most of what the Old Testament prophets saw applies to the 1,000 years or that millennium, such as Isaiah did in his entire 35th chapter. We have one portion that looks beyond the millennium into eternity, and that's what we're seeing here in the 21st chapter. From what I have read through verse 6, let's turn back to Isaiah, the 60th chapter. These prophets saw the same thing in the Old Testament. Most of them did see, and we've studied just the portion leading up to the millennium and the 1,000 years. They were given a glimpse of eternity. They saw through into eternity. And Isaiah is one of these in the 60th chapter, reading from verse 17. This is something he is given an insight into. And he says, "For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, for wood brass, and for stone iron. I will also make thy officers peace and thine extractors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. So instead of the natural walls, the natural barriers will be the spiritual ones that God sets up for Jerusalem, the earthly Jerusalem. Violence shall no more be heard in the land. This is going into eternity after the Battle of Armageddon. Verse 19, the sun shall be no more thy light by day. Neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, thy God, thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light. The days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous, no more sinners, all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. The little one shall become a thousand, the small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. We're seeing the picture from the millennium on into eternity as Isaiah does here at this portion. He's seeing it from the portion of the Jews being in the Old Testament. He's seeing the growth of the Jews. He's seeing the multiplication of what starts with this one world of ours, this one planet Earth, and how it grows. A little one shall become a thousand, a small one, a strong nation. This is what God is going to do. Keep in mind this picture, and then we have it again here, turning back to Revelation. This is the portion of the new earth we're seeing, not the new heavens. Let's turn over and look from verse 23. This is still describing the new Jerusalem. 24 goes into the new earth, not the heavenly Jerusalem, the new earth with verse 24. In the new city, the capital city has no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The nations of them which are saved, now this is the earth below, shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. This is the same thing John is seeing, is the same thing that Isaiah saw over here. There will be no need of the sun, the moon, and the stars, or of artificial light, and there will be no darkness, because the light from the new Jerusalem that's coming down, the heavenly city, the holy city, that is to hang over this earth, the light from that through this pure gold, the crystal rivers that we see described as we go on, will bring all the light to this world. It will not have darkness anymore. We've studied into this before. The picture of it, if you can picture in your mind, I don't have a blackboard here tonight, maybe we'll do this next week. The size of this New Jerusalem as it's described, we'll go into this next week and try to show more proportion of the new city that's coming down, that John's seeing coming down out of heaven. This will be the capital city of the universe. It will hang over this new earth, or earth that was made new, and will be the light of it. The bride goes in and out. The gates are not shut. You are not sentenced to just one place, but you can travel in this universe. This city that John is seeing, he's describing when he said, I saw the holy city, new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as the beauty of it is as a bride adorned for her husband. This is the city that Jesus Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. That where I am, you may be also. This is what we are seeing that he prepared. It's not just heavens up there somewhere, but it's actually a new city that has dimensions. It tells the foundations. It shows what it's built from and shows all the beauty that's in it. But the light from that will be the light for this new earth. We see this holy city, the New Jerusalem, will be probably centered over the old Jerusalem as Isaiah sees it. Verse 22 and 24 shows us the same thing. Isaiah 60 shows us that the light from this new Jerusalem, this heavenly city, will be the light for the new earth. Any questions so far? All right, let's continue with this then. We see verse 3 that John heard the voice saying, the tabernacle of God is with men. He didn't see just the tabernacle of God, but he heard the voice saying that it's now with men and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people and God himself shall be with them and be their God. All tears shall be wiped away from their eyes. There'll be no more death. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying, for the former things are passed away. Not everything is destroyed. Sometimes people think that what's going to happen is a great fireball is just going to totally destroy the earth. This whole earth will never be destroyed, ever. Just the sin will be destroyed from it. God doesn't create something and then throw it away. He redeems this earth. We are seeing here everything that he intended for it to be like from the beginning until sin came in and destroyed this. Verse 5, I want to bring in clearly. I think verse 3 and 4 is self-explanatory. There's no way to change or look into anything different from this. It's exactly what it means. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sickness, no more crying. There will be no more. That's eternity for God's people. Unless you have a question on 3 and 4, I want to go into verse 5. I'd like to be able to go in depth with verse 5 a little bit more as we're studying here. Have any questions on verse 3 or 4? It is for the new city, is the tabernacle of God. Right now, of course, we're called the tabernacle of God. The tabernacle of God is wherever God dwells. We have the Old Testament shadow. The tabernacle was built and everything placed just so. That was called the tabernacle of God, but it was just the earthly tabernacle. We've seen in studying here in Revelation that there is a heavenly tabernacle also that looks like this one on earth. It was patterned after the heavenly tabernacle. So this heavenly tabernacle, if what we're seeing here when John said, I saw the holy city, and then at the same time, he goes into and he heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. This tabernacle that the earthly one was created after will be in the heavenly city, the holy city. Any other question on those two verses before we go to verse 5? Verse 5 is one that we need to look at it carefully because we need to use this, have it in our mind almost from Genesis to Revelation because of all the times that God says, I will destroy, I will do away with, there shall be no more. We see it very clearly in going along with all of the teachings of the Bible. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. What a difference here in understanding than to say, I make all new things. I make all things new. It's easy to understand. What's the difference between the two thoughts? I make all things new, or I make all new things. What's the difference between the two thoughts? There's a big difference between creating things from nothing as he did mankind and this earth out of dust. He made all things new. We were new from the beginning. He doesn't do this. Anything that is redeemed is not made from something that wasn't before. Redeemed means he made it over again. We see from many of the scriptures, what he says here is what he means. I make all things new, not I make all new things. See, there's a big difference. He makes all things as new. He doesn't make everything disappear and start all over and make everything new again. This is what everything is all about of redemption, is that he makes all things new. All old things he purifies and makes as new. As we start with this, we see all things new is not all new things. To make all new things would be to start all over again, wouldn't it? It would not be redemption. The whole Bible was for nothing because the whole Bible is about the redemption planned. The things that God made and called good are not going to be destroyed. They're going to be purged by fire and by hail, by earthquakes, and then made as new. After they're cleansed and purged, they'll be made as new. This is true of all redeemed things. Can you give me some scriptures or some examples of things that are redeemed like this? He says, I make all things new. We're talking about redemption. So give me some examples. What is something redeemed? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter, from verse 17. So we start with our salvation. When we are redeemed back to Jesus Christ, we become as new as we did to begin with. Before sin came in our lives, we become as new. If we do not become as new, we do not become redeemed. So that's why the new birth by water and spirit, here reading this, he explains it, how we are redeemed. We become as new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Same thing, isn't it, as he spoke of here in Revelation, the 21st chapter, when he spoke of everything. He speaks of this as the individual life. This is you. This is me. If you are redeemed, this is what you must be. If any man, there's no exceptions, be in Christ, Christ-like a Christian, he is a new creature. He don't bring sin over into it. He's not redeemed if he has sin over into it. Old things are passed away. Your old life, your old nature, you bring them under control. And yes, this takes time. It's step upon step. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He's talking about a Christ-like or Christian, isn't he? And all things are of God who has reconciled or reconciled, brought back, redeemed to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So we have here, when you are born by the water and the Spirit, your new birth in Christ, and then your old nature you do away with by the power of the Holy Ghost, then you become a new creature, totally new, redeemed back to Jesus Christ, or reconciled back by Jesus Christ. We couldn't have done this. We would never be redeemed, cleansed, without the blood of Jesus Christ. So it took his death to cleanse us, not keep us in our sins. That is the most foolish thing I've ever heard in my life. When people think that they just keep sinning and just, well, I tell the Lord, I'm sorry, I've asked that blood covering me. That blood washes you from your sins. You need the power in that blood to stay free from those sins. You do not need it. He did not need to die, to suffer, to shed that blood for us to stay in our sins. We did that easily. It took Jesus Christ shedding his blood to wash us from those sins, give us the power to be that new creature where all things are passed away, all things become new. When he reconciled us back to himself, he passed on this ministry to everyone that is reconciled, not just the pastor. He says, you're all ministers of this reconciliation. The scriptures say Jesus Christ is the firstborn among many brethren, saying the same thing. He has given to us. He passes it on. First, he led the way. He reconciled, redeemed mankind back to himself if we follow him. Then he passes this on to whoever is redeemed. He doesn't give it to you to sit down with. You're not just there to let somebody else do it all. You are then a minister of reconciliation to redeem anyone you come in contact with. It's your job. You are a debtor to do this. From verse 19, to wit, or this is what I'm saying, God was in Christ. Amen. not another God, but God was in Christ, reconciling or redeeming the world unto himself. By this, not imputing their trespasses to them, this way he took our sins on the cross, and he has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You think you're not a debtor? You think you're going to get by with just salvation for your own soul? As you grow in God and you learn, this is as much your job as it is mine. Whatever your calling is, this is part of it. Souls are all the calling God has. Souls, one way or another, by any means. He's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. God in us, us in him. Here we see the reconciliation or redemption. What is redemption? One portion of it here, as we're seeing it, all things made new, starting with mankind. Doesn't mean you're scrap and thrown away and he starts over here with some new dust and makes you again. Doesn't do that. I'm still here in this body. I wish I did already have a new body, but I don't. What he does do is he reconciles, redeems when we are in obedience to his word and we learn and we grow step upon step, line upon line. He redeems us back to himself. What is redemption? Cleansing it and returning it to its original date. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let's go right back to 21 and read verse 5 again. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Not just mankind, but all things new. Same thing as he's saying here, all things are become new. Not different, but cleansed and as new as it was at the beginning. Any questions on this portion? Let's go to Ephesians, the second chapter. It has more on this. Reading from verse 13, Ephesians 2 and from verse 13. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, if you are in him, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who is made both one. Here's something I want to explain to you, or have you explain to me first if you can. And has broken down the middle wall or partition between us. He's going into a plural or two here from one. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one. To take that which is two and make it one. New man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile or redeem both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Can someone explain that to me? So how does he make of the two one in our flesh, as verse 15, make one new man out of two? By Jesus Christ made both to one. He broke down the middle wall of partition between us. He abolished in his flesh that enmity by taking our sins upon him. To make, and why he did this is part I want you to explain. Why he did this was to make in himself of two one, a new man, so making peace. Yes, making one new creature. Right now, there's that warfare, the two, the old nature and God's nature when you come to him. But what he has done when he started, because here again, we've got to think of redemption. It's a progressive thing, isn't it? It's progressive. The idea between the tabernacle and breaking down that wall of partition was that we then can come face to face with God. We don't need someone there to forgive us of our sins. Jesus Christ himself does this. We can come boldly to the throne of God. The reason that he did this, one new man, are all things new. One new creature. You can't have both natures. God won't rule in here with you. So you become one new creature. Do you see? The flesh doesn't rule anymore. By his death, burial, and resurrection, he gives you the power through the Holy Ghost. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you come boldly to the throne of God. Amen? The middle wall of partition is broken down, as was in the tabernacle, as a symbol that this, that has always had this warfare, natural fighting against the spiritual, that we might become, by his giving that life, by his death, burial, and resurrection, by us following this, we might become one, not two. He died that he could make of these two, the natural and the spiritual, one, a spiritual man, a new creature. Do you have any question on it? Do you understand what he's saying here? We put away the flesh, the natural, and we become one. For to make in himself of two, one new man, so making peace that he might reconcile both unto God. He can't reconcile your natural to God. Your natural can never be reconciled to God. But the Spirit of God in you, you becoming the new creature, Christ-like, as we studied, is what is reconciled back to God. This is what brings peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, or in himself. Any questions? We see even more things here of redemption. This is our spiritual redemption that we've been reading about here in Corinthians 5 and Ephesians 2. Can you think of anything else where old things are made new? He definitely redeems this old earth. We can see that when we see the story that we just finished with here. As we saw, he saw the new heaven and the new earth. We studied that on the first verse of chapter 21 in Revelations. What that meant, how this old earth is actually redeemed back to the perfection. The water around this earth, the perfect climate, the no more huge oceans where mountains go into the sea and new continents rise up from it. All things will be perfect. All things will be as new or as it was. But he makes of this one, cleanses it and purges it and makes of it all things new. So the earth itself will be redeemed. So we see the spiritual man redeemed, or made from the old. We see the earth redeemed. Anything else you can think of? So the natural body is going to be redeemed. Is that something made from old to become as new? Do you have the scripture on that? All right, let's start reading from verse 49. 1 Corinthians 15, from verse 49. As we have borne the image of the earthly in this natural body, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, like Christ. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. So much for everybody's sins, we're going to be changed when we die. If you die a sinner, you're going to be a sinner in eternity. No end. You're not going to be all of a sudden just because you're dead, oh Lord, take my body. You see that every funeral ever depicted. Whether they're the worst sinner that you can imagine or a fairly good person or a saint. Seems like everyone always says, oh Lord, you know, they're with the Lord now. You know, they had an easy death. They've gone to be with God. Not unless they were walking with him here, they aren't. Amen. Because you will be whatever you are here. Whosoever you yield your members to, that's whose servant you are. You are whoever you serve down here, you will be with over there. So, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. Old things made new. This is our body we're talking about now. In a moment, here he's describing it exactly, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this is going to happen this quick, the rapture. at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. We are raised, and we have a lot of other scriptures too. This old body is changed. He doesn't go out and get some new dust and make up a new one for us. This one is redeemed. You can't wait for your new body, but it's a new glorified body. It's the old one made new. I really don't know how he's going to do it. It's going to take a miracle of God, but he says he can do it, so I expect him to do it. We see this is true of all redeemed things. Back to the 21st chapter of Revelations. When he says, "Behold, I make all things new," we find this to be true of all redeemed things. He changes a sinner to a saint, but you're still you. He just changes you to be like him. If you let him guide you and rule your life, you don't try to rule him. He just moves out that way. Then we see the new redeemed earth, where it's been cleansed and brought back exactly by the great fires, the great earthquakes, the great hail. We see this old earth renewed. He just kind of molds it and pulls it and twists it until it becomes like it was to begin with. We see the new Christian, the new spirit. We see the new body. Even our immortal bodies have to be changed, be redeemed. Only those who have mortal bodies can have an immortal body. You have to have a mortal body before you can have an immortal body, because he doesn't just make an immortal body. He takes a mortal body and he makes it into an immortal body, changed to be like him. Redeemed bodies, as we've read here, are old bodies made new. They are of a different nature than mere spirit bodies. Big difference. The possessors of these immortal bodies can become the bride of Jesus Christ, and only the possessors of these immortal bodies. Now, we studied that a little while before. Who's going to inherit the new earth, the new heavens? And we find those that have immortal bodies inherit the new Jerusalem. So the possessors of immortal bodies that have been changed from mortal, translated, called up, will become the bride of Jesus Christ. Redeemed things have a higher place in heavenly values than directly created things, no matter how good they might be. We find that being redeemed, going through the fires, and coming out proven has a great higher value to God. I think that's why we see so often sinners that they have just been down in the very dregs of sin. They come in and make a saint of God quicker and easier than one that thinks they're pretty good, because you know it's like Jesus said, "Which one loves me most, the one that I've forgiven most?" Isn't that a fact? When you know what you're like and when you know what you are, you certainly know what he had to do to forgive you. So the glory of this holy city that we're seeing back here in the 21st chapter of Revelations lies in the fact that it is the city of the redeemed. Those who were once lost, those who were once dead in their sins, people made new for the new city of Jerusalem. God is the creator of angels, but he's the father of saints. Only those who have been made new may be adopted into this family of God and become joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Only those redeemed by his blood will be glorified with him. Just think about it. Do you have any questions on any of this that we've read in these different scriptures? All things made new. All things new. Have any questions? There are several scriptures like this. Either the Bible is totally contradictory and it's two or three gods saying all of these things, or we have to find what the Bible is teaching all the way through it. Redemption is not doing away with destroying and making something from nothing. Redemption, what Jesus Christ did to redeem us, what he says he does to this world, redeemed. He also said that he destroyed the world by the flood. But he didn't destroy it, did he? He didn't destroy it. He destroyed sin from it because the world was still the same. So is this, he does create, but not created as just that and never changed as far as saints are concerned. Created is what he created to begin with, and he does. He creates us a new creature. He actually makes us this if we follow him, but it's not out of nothing. It's from something because it's redeemed. This earth to begin with, when he put mankind in it, wasn't new. We go back here to Genesis, the first chapter. We find this earth was here billions of years before God put mankind here. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, when God creates something, it's something, isn't it? He doesn't create nothing. Between verse 1 and verse 2, there's probably billions of years. The earth was void, was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. We find there's a space here, and you say, how do you know this? Well, let's go on over here and find what he tells us in verse 28 when he created man and told him to go. Verse 28, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. You don't redo something unless it's been there before. So the earth is not new. He just redid it for us and made it a place for mankind. He does not make mistakes with words to replenish, to redeem, to re-reconcile mankind to himself. It's just what he means. Redeem has a meaning. It's not created from nothing. It is created by God. Even though we have where he destroyed the world by flood, have another place he destroys it by fire, he never destroys the earth as such, just the sin off of the earth. You have to know what the scriptures are teaching all the way through. It means what he teaches. Redemption is the greatest plan. It's the total plan from beginning to end. What is the word redemption? What does re mean? To do it over, to do it again, to make it more. That's why he told Adam and Eve, go and replenish the earth. They were the first two he ever created. How could they redo something? He wouldn't have said, go and replenish the earth. That's why scientists have found in this old world things that are millions of years old, maybe more. They're always talking about the missing link. But there is no missing link. When Satan was cast out, when he dropped from being the bright and morning star, the head angel, the archangel, and he was cast out because of his sin, this old world was made void and without form. But the creatures that were here before are still found intact, dead certainly, but intact. He didn't pick up and go on from that. He started a new line with Adam and Eve, yet he told them, this earth was populated before by these beings. Now you go and replenish it with beings like yourself. Replenish it, not with those other things that used to be. There's no missing link. They have found the beings, but not one that you can keep on following and see how it evolved. It didn't evolve. God made just what he made. Any questions as we close this tonight? I don't think I'll go into verse 6. It's getting kind of late. Verse 5, the earth will be a redeemed planet. That makes it a different one from all the worlds that have ever been made or ever will be made. The Bible strongly suggests that this world will be the seed plot from which God will people many, many worlds. One planet to another, travel from one planet to another, was first God's idea before mankind began to think about it. The earth is not big enough to hold all the things that God talks about. There is not room enough here to fulfill all the promises that are in the Bible. A people made new occupy that capital city of the spiritual universe. The earth made new will occupy the central place in an ever-expanding kingdom. See if you can find for next week some scriptures showing this. God's ever-expanding kingdom. There's scriptures that teach us this. So any questions as we close tonight? You know, you can keep this in mind and realize how quickly this is coming to pass, that in God's mind, He's already said it's done, it's finished, because He has planned it. It's going to be exactly like He says. And how quickly time goes for us right now. You consider what it holds for us and the promise for God's people, and especially from the dispensation we live in right now, what we are offered, the capital of the universe, that a holy city, not just the new earth, we're offered the best right now. And it can be ours, but it takes the Spirit and it takes the water, takes that name for us to become renewed and redeemed, a new creature in Him. God bless you.